Nation is going to experience something. I don't know what it is. I almost thought that when what happened in Las Vegas, it was that. But I suspect that there may be something coming to our nation, maybe to the world, that is going to bring a incredible attention to who Jesus is and who he wants to be in every person's life. And God always brings us to these places in our lives. He does this individually. I pray all the time. I pray, God, I pray for our family, and I pray for the ones that I know and love, our church, that we don't have to go through a calamity to come closer to Jesus. We don't have to go through pain. And so many times, that is what happens in our lives. It isn't that God brings you and hurts you. It is that life happens, difficulties happen, and it causes us to come and go to God and to try to find out and figure out, okay, Lord, who are you? What are you doing? Why is this happening? I had a, you know, last week I talked about what do you do when tragedy strikes? And it was a reference that we were remembering Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We had a focus on it last Sunday. Divine Dance danced, and we had some people in the back giving information. We want to help you. If any of you are going through anything like that, we want to help you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. But little did I know that I would get this call on Monday morning. Ryan, my son, had called me. He said, Dad, you want a stark reminder of why you do what you do, why we do what we do. And boy, when I get those calls, I'm like, okay. And when you do what I do, you get those often. And this young man that we had been working with maybe over the last month, we had gotten the call that he had OD'd on Sunday night and died. And as I'm walking through the line at his calling hours, and I'm meeting a weeping mom, a struck father. He has five children that are now without a dad. Hugging those kids and seeing them just, they don't know what to think, they don't know what to do. And it brought me to such an awareness that this life that we live is so fragile that at any moment, there could be a catastrophic event that captures our attention, but it should not take that for us to be mindful of who God is in and to our lives at all moments of our lives. I had a young man come to me. I call everybody young now. He came to me, a business person in the community. He's never been to my office, asked if he could come and talk to me. And I began to tell him, he said, I know God is doing something in me. I know he's reaching into my heart. Don't know his relationship with the Lord at all. I began to tell him, I remember what got my attention. It was several years ago when I was 17 years old. The nail that changed my life was when my mom died. And I went through that whole thing and I was alone. And then I became homeless after that. I remember leaving the funeral home and walking down Main Street. Probably walked right by the theater here. And just in a daze, on a September afternoon, it was warm out, wondering, what do I do now? Where do I go? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to my life? And these are the things that captivates a person's heart, and you have these moments throughout your life, and you should never allow life to get so complicated that you forget who the Lord is. I was reminded of this story too today. You know, the girls in the office say, you can remember things 40 years ago, but you can't remember what happened 4 hours ago. And it's true. I remembered when I was 17, 18, I was working for a carpenter, and we were doing building and working in Leroy. And I remember I was in this little restaurant. I can't even remember the name of it, or it was on a side street in Leroy. And I remember coming out, and the sky was all like something that I'd never seen before. And the pastor back then at the church that I got saved in, the little Christian Missionary Alliance, it's not even a church anymore, it's just an apartment house, Pastor Elwood Mann. I remember him talking about all the time the second coming of Jesus. He would talk about it all the time. I mean, if he didn't talk about it every service, he would talk about it every other service. Always talking about, be ready. And it was a part of our lives. And I'll never forget walking out of that little restaurant that day, having lunch and looking up in the sky and seeing something that I'd never seen before. And I thought, the Lord is coming back. He's coming back today. I remember, many of you won't even know what I'm talking about when I say this, but I went over back then, they had things that hung on walls. They were called payphones. And I remember going over, and I wasn't married yet. And I remember calling Patty up. I don't even know where she was. And I said, honey, you see the sky? She goes, yeah. I said, I think Jesus is coming today. She goes, he may be. He might be. I said, I just want to tell you, I love you one more time. And I'll see you either in the air or I'll see you there. Because I was so mindful of what God was about and that he was coming again, that everything that happened around my life was laid against the fabric. Jesus is coming again. And there's, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the way thereof is death. And that we need to walk in that way so that we can know his promises. We can know the life that he has for us. We can know in the direction that he has called you and I to go. Back in the 1700s, there was, and by the way, if you're here today and you're struggling with any kind of substance abuse or anybody in your home or your family or you know somebody and they want help, you contact me because I feel with all of my heart. Now listen, when you are in that place, nothing is going to be easy. When you are addicted, and I don't care what it is, and I talk to people all the time that are addicted to a myriad of things, not just drugs and alcohol, it's many things, pornography, and can't get out of that stronghold. It may have come into your life easy, but those things never leave your life easy. And so there will be a moment, a time in your life that if you are serious about it, it'll take great action and great work. But when you do that, God will free you. And the greatest place that I know in the world for that is the Los Angeles Dream Center. And if you need help or know somebody, or you have somebody in your family, contact me. We'll tell you how to do it. We'll help you. We'll do it. Somebody just asked me last week, how much does it cost a month to go there? It will cost you nothing because there's churches like this one that supports it every single month around the nation and the world to help people who are suffering, and we believe that God can change their lives. Amen. Come on. You ought to clap your hands on that. So I want to help. We want to help people. You keep that. It's not easy, but nothing great is easy. Only dead fish are the only ones that float downstream. Sometimes you got to put real effort into it. Jonathan Edwards from the mid-1700s, a graduate of Yale University, had an encounter with God that would lead him in such a transformation in his life to what was called the Great Awakening, one of the most notable moments in history that God would move in and through people. And his story would read that he would read his sermons from paper, never lifting up his head to even look at anybody while he was reading them, and that the power of God moved people's hearts so much because of the gospel message of Jesus. And that's what happens when a man or a woman stands and proclaims the gospel of Jesus. When it leaves a man or a woman's mouth, that the power in the Holy Spirit of God intercepts it between the time it leaves their mouth and the time it touches the next person's ears and hearts and begins to transform and change their lives. He would go on and he would see a move of God in the New England and in England itself like many had never seen ever before. Because it's the power of God that changes a person's life. It created the universe, it parted the sea, and it's been changing lives from the beginning of time. And when you hear the gospel, that's why it's so important to hear the gospel of Jesus, because it transforms your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:19 that it's all-surpassing, and in 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says it is the power of God to change people's lives. And it's the power that will do it. His divine nature. Billy Graham said this. He said, God's absolute power coupled with his absolute authority allows the Lord to do anything, whatever he pleases, with no limitations at all. I wonder what would happen in this house today. That if we came in and we took all the limitations that we put on ourselves, we took them all off and we said, God, do anything you want in me, through me, have your way in my life today. What would happen? Many people are saying, well, what we need is a revival. No, what we need is for every one of our hearts to allow God to have his way in our lives. And then you will see what you have been asking and what you have been praying for. But it never happens until we allow him to come into our lives and transform us as a person individually. We can't look at others. Well, if God will only do this here or there. No, what God wants to do is work in our hearts as individuals. No matter who you are, no matter where you came from. Because to the man or the woman, to the boy or the girl that loves the Lord, it doesn't matter where you came from, what color you are, what language you speak, what background you are from, God will transform and change any life because he loves humanity and he loves all people. And I'm so thankful for the church, because you look around today and the people that you're sitting with, they love the Lord. You're going to spend eternity with them. Go ahead, get a good look at them, because they are your brothers and your sisters. Romans 1:6, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He says it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. He says again in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What does he mean there? That there are people that just, doesn't matter what they hear, there's, that God stuff, that's not for me, that's for somebody else. I'm just going to do what I think. And they're perishing. And when they hear the gospel, nothing changes or transforms in their life. But to the one that believes, it is the power of God to move them into the place that God has called them to. And if you and I are going to live for God, we got to learn that there is a way that we are to go. And there may be a way that we shouldn't go. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the way thereof is death. Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is a way for you and I to go. And when we move in that direction, he will lead us into life and that everlasting. Isaiah 55, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God wants to lift you up higher and move you in a way that you have never been before. He wants to transform our lives. And I'm here to ask you today, are you living in his way? Are you moving in his direction? You have to make that decision today. And when you make that decision and you begin to move in that way, God will help you to leave some other decisions behind. Because his way, Psalm 18:30 says, is perfect. And Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers. There's a way he'll make you fishers of men. There's a way that you and I are to go. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, follow me. Follow my example. Walk with me as I walk in the way of God. And we should live our lives in God's way. So what decisions do I have to make for this to happen in my life? Number one, you got to learn to take up your cross. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Mark says it this way. He called to the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Luke, he records it this way in Luke 9:23. He said, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, he'll lose it. But for whoever wants to lose their life for me, they're going to find it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet lose and forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them. And when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. In Jesus' day, the cross wasn't just a symbol of pain and suffering, but it was a symbol that you would put to death your plans for his plans. And I know some of you may be here today and say, oh, I got to give up all my fun life and follow a boring God. But when you take up your cross, he will cause the things that you think are so important. He will cause the things that you have put such a precedence on to be minimized, to move into the life that you can't even dream he has for you. He is the maker of life. He is the beginning and the end. He is the author. He is the one who breathed breath into humanity. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our God, our Redeemer. He has come in flesh. He has given his life, shed his blood, died, and he has risen again to give you and I that kind of Zoe life. Life in an abundance. Not just a cheap, not just some cheap, minimized life, but a great life that he has called to you and I to live. This is the God that we serve. He just doesn't call us to just be a casual Christian, but he calls you and I to commit our lives fully to him so that we can know the totality of what he has created in us and for us and wants to do through us. And Jesus says in Luke 14:27, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me can't even be a disciple of mine. And to take up your cross means to completely surrender to Christ. To give up your way. To give up your beef. To give up your own personal wants and desires. To give up your position for his position. You know what I found out? That when I yield to him, that he always moves me to the front of the line. I want to be the last, but God will always move. He'll bless me. He'll do things in me that will cause me never to go without when we go his way. C.S. Lewis says it this way, the more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become. And you will never know who you are until you allow who he is to direct your life. Listen to this again in Matthew 16. You ought to be writing some of these scriptures down if you haven't. Let me just give you a little insight. That when I ever sit under, when anybody else preaches, I don't care who it is. Anytime Phil Gardner spoke on Thursday night, eloquent, I write down every scripture that he says. Doesn't matter who it is. Write those down. You can go back to them. Jesus said this in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for me, they will find it. For what good is it for someone to gain the world, yet lose their own soul? And Jesus is telling you here today, my brothers and my sisters, that you can lay down your own agenda, pick up his, and you will gain the world. We think some things that we want are so big, and if I got to have it, and it's got to be this way. And God says, listen, I got a bigger way for you. I got something so much grander that you have never even thought of. You got to pick up your cross. And Jesus, even he said, not thy will, but your will be done. And the only way you can do this is to walk in the power of God's Holy Spirit, to surrender to him and to live for him. You have to learn to walk in the power of his Holy Spirit. Paul says it this way in Romans 7:18. He says, for I know that good itself does not live in me, that is, in my own sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. I want to do what's right, but I don't have the power to move to the next level. And you are right. Without the leading and the strength of His Holy Spirit, you and I will never go to where He has called us to go. He says again in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. He's not causing you and I to leave something that is good for us behind. He's causing you and I to come closer to Him so that we can find out the real joy of life. Everything He has for us. Walking by the Spirit means that every single day you get up, you ask Him to strengthen and to empower you. Walking by the Spirit is what we do when the desires produced by the Spirit are stronger than the desires produced by the flesh, John Piper says. And we have access to the Spirit every day, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Ezekiel prophesies concerning the new covenant in Ezekiel 36. He said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. Put a new spirit in you. He said, I'll remove from you the heart of stone. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. What's that mean? A heart of stone is signified by a hard heart, rebellious. I want it my way. It's going to be the way I say. And it's not going to happen any other way. And God says, I want to take that out of you. And my brothers and my sisters, if you're going to walk in His way, you got to be willing to give that up. Did you hear what I just said? God is not, He does not bust down your door to come in. You've got to be willing when He... There's only one doorknob on the door. He said, I stand at the door of your heart. If anyone hears my voice and they open the door, I will come in. He does not push His way in. You have got to be willing to say, God, my heart is hardened. My heart is like stone. He says, if you'll give that to Him, He'll give you a heart of flesh, a soft and pliable heart. He'll cause tough men to weep in His presence. Let me ask you that. When's the last time you wept in the presence of God? When's the last time that God moved on your heart? I'm not talking about a show. I'm talking about you intimately. Maybe you're all alone. And God moved in your heart. He said, I'll put my spirit in you. And I'll, here it is, I'll move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Charles Spurgeon says it this way, the Holy Spirit cannot dwell in the old heart. It is a filthy place, devoid of all good and full of enmity to God. His very first operation upon our nature is to pull down the old house and build Himself a new one that He may be able to inhabit us consistently with His holy spiritual nature. And then, lastly, we got to live with an urgency in our heart. Live with this. God is delighted with blessing His people. He loves to see His people blessed. But He's also, on that, He's designated us, you and I, to be watchful. You know, I was telling you earlier that when we were kids, we'd hear this message all the time. I'm going to preach about it more because I'm going to tell you something. You can mark it down. Something is coming. That's not to make anybody afraid. If you live under the shadow of the Almighty, you'll abide in safety and protection. But God wants you to live with a sense of urgency. Think beyond yourself. Think beyond where you're at. We'd read these verses every day. Made me think about the Lord coming every day. I don't know if He's coming. I don't know if that's it. But I want you to know something is coming. Come closer to God. He'll come closer to you. Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said, about that day, about that, or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, nor an evangelist on TV, or a prophet that's written 14 books to get more of your money. No one knows Look at that. But the Father. Did you hear that? That's not my words. That's the Bible. Read the Bible. When somebody says, I don't care if they're flashing a fancy suit on TV and they say, I know when he's coming. They're lying. They don't know. No one knows but the Father. But listen on. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. I did a wedding yesterday. We're in the time. Not just because I did the marriage. I thought it fit with my message good, that's all. Up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. And that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other one left. What? The one that will be taken is the one who lives with the knowledge of Christ and has given their life to Jesus. And he is the Lord of their life. One will be taken, the other one will be left. If God's so loving, why wouldn't he take both? He reaches out to everyone. You're here today by his divine love and grace and mercy. And it's a time for some of you to make a decision in your life. He says, two men will be in the field. One's taken, the other one left. He's not gender mixed up here. He says, two women. They'll be grinding with a handmill. I don't know, they must be grinding coffee or something. One will be taken and the other one will be left. He goes on to say, therefore, keep watch. Have a sense of urgency in your heart. Because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. Oh, he's coming. I don't know when, but he's coming. He said, understand this. And then he sows this little parable in there. In verse 43, he says, understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have had kept watch. It would not have let his house be broken into. You ought to write this scripture down because you're going to want to read this and you want to ponder over this. Just kind of let this work in you. Verse 44, he says, so you must also, look at it, be ready. Because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you don't even know when he's coming. He's going to come. And there's a way to go. There's a way to walk to prepare your life. And to keep moving in that direction. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15, he said, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. He's referring to those who have died. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, and after that, we who are still alive and are left, you'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Woo! And so will we be with the Lord forever. You ought to clap your hands on that right there this morning. That's the hope of Christ. And you and I are called to live with this sense of urgency in our heart. And I'm not telling you to close up your business. I'm not telling you to sell your house and bunker down in a little, 200 square foot room somewhere and just, some people have done that. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to occupy, do business until he comes. Keep on. But everything you do must be hinged to Christ living in you, causing you to walk in a particular way, and knowing that he is coming for you. And everything that you are created for has a connection to the purposes and the plans of God. Everything. Every musician, every singer up here today, every person working in the sound booth, every person that's helping with kids upstairs, next door, all over. Every individual that shook your hand on the way in, the people that will help over at St. Anthony's after, everyone is connected with eternity in their heart. And if you're not, if you're doing it for some other reason, quit today, please. And if you're not doing it because of some other reason, get your life right with the Lord today. Live with urgency. I was reminded of this old song, "Coming Again, Coming Again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but coming soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again." How many of you have heard that song before? I taught my boys how to sing. And Paul says, and I'm going to close with this in just a moment. He says it with such gentleness in Romans 13, verse 11. He says, "And do this understanding the present time." You got to understand the time. I listened to the news this week. Said the stock market shot up again. It said that the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos, his net worth went up $6 billion overnight. One person, he has a net worth of over $93 billion. I was talking to my youngest, Garrett, the financial brain. He said, "Dad, he could spend $5 million a day for the next 50 years and not run out of money." Now, I know some of you, you're getting your calculators out right now, just as I did. $5 million times 365 times 50 years and still not run out of money. But this is what Paul says, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Listen, I'm closer to him now than the day I called my wife on that phone and said, "I think he's coming." Now is the time for you and I to give everything over to the Lord. To walk in the way that he has called you and I to walk. Not to hold back, not to wait for some particular time. Now is the time. Today is the day. I'm going to just say this in closing. There is a great harvest coming. Great harvest. And I'm not talking about corn. I'm talking about people coming to Jesus. It's coming. This is a message this morning that if I told you how it originated and how it was put together, you'd laugh, you'd shake your head. I'll tell you how I did. I didn't tell them in the first service. I was in prayer. I've been feeling this. I was in prayer this week, and then I went after I got home from the gym and do my thing. I pray for an hour or so, and then I jump in the shower. And in the shower, I feel the Spirit of God he's just telling me all these things. Just, and I can't, my handwriting isn't that good, and I'm still wet. I run out, I grab my phone. "Aaron, take these notes down right now." I got the phone propped in the bathroom. I'm shaving. I'm telling her these scriptures. "Write this down, number one. Write this down, number two. Write this down, number three." She said, "I feel like I'm in a movie right now. I got notes all over the place." Jesus wants your life. Not a little bit of it. Some of you have been holding back. Some of you have been called to do greater things. Some of you have been called to do something significant. Some of you have, but it's not a one-time deal. That's the beautiful thing about God. When you begin to walk in his way, he surprises you every day that you take in breath. Every single day. Many of you are here, you have potential in you that you've never given over to God before in your life. And he wants your life. He doesn't want it a little bit. He wants it all. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Prayer people, make your way to the altar. I'm going to pray close. You are good. You're good. Oh, Lord, you are so good to me. You're good to our families that are here today, to every single person that is here. Lord, I ask you today, I want every eye closed and I want every head bowed. I don't want anybody moving around right now. I want you to let God's, His Holy Spirit, the Word of the living Lord, as it has touched your ears and entered into your heart today. I don't want a thing from you. I'm not going to ask you to move. I don't want anybody to get up. I don't want nothing like that. But I just want to confirm. I want just by your actions say that something that you heard today, that was for you. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you all over the house today. You can put your hand down. Today, you're here. You never gave your life to Christ. This is your moment. This is your day. I don't want a thing from you. I'm not asking anything from you, but you can't go on another moment. I said to one of the men as we were walking off here in the first service, I said, if something takes place, I wouldn't want somebody to come to me and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you give me an invitation? One of the realists in my life, he said, Marty, they'll do that anyways. But this is your moment. This is your day today for you to surrender your life to Christ. I'm going to close in prayer. And if that's you, I want to meet you right here. I want you to come right here. I want to meet you. I'm going to pray for you. You can come even while I'm talking. I'm going to close in prayer. If your life is away from God today, I want to meet you right here at the altar, because God wants to do a great work in your heart. But if you've never given your life to Christ, today is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. Don't wait for somebody else to... Nothing. This is your point today for you to come to Him. I'm going to close in prayer. Then I want you to come. And if you need prayer for anything, these folks that are standing here with me today, they're here to pray and believe God with you for whatever it is in your life. Don't leave and carry it out on your own. Let's pray. God, I thank you today for your love, for the Word of the living God. You can come right now. I'm going to close in prayer. You move your way. Make your move right now. Don't wait. God, I ask you today that you will be so real to every individual and every life that is here. I pray, God, that you will transform lives for your glory and for your honor. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you. You need prayer? You want to give your life to Christ? Meet me here. I want to pray for you. I love you. Go in His grace today. Remember Tuesday night, when the world is celebrating one way, we're celebrating at St. Anthony's another way. We'd love to see you. God bless you. I love you.